If you have your Bibles today, you can be finding the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms. We've been talking about love the whole month of February. Love's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I read this little funny one day. A wife asked her husband, "How would you describe me?" And he said, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. And the wife was a little bit confused, and she said, "Well, what in the world does that mean?" And her husband said, "Well, A is for adorable, and B is for beauty, and C is for cute, and D is for delightful, and E is for elegant, and F is for fashionable, and G is for gorgeous, and H is for hot." And the wife said, "Well, what about I, J, K?" And he said, "I was just kidding." Oh, goodness. I learned this a long time ago. Never laugh at your wife's choices. If she brings a dress home and she says, "How does it look?" You say, "Beautiful." And the reason I learned that you're never to laugh at your wife's choices is because you're one of them. So I'm going to be talking this morning about why do I love Jesus. So we've been on a series of messages. If you remember the last couple of weeks, we preached on how do we know God loves us. And we talked about that, and we know God loves us because, number one, the Scripture tells us so, and then, number two, the sacrifice that He made on the cross, we know that without a shadow of a doubt that He loves us, and then we also know that He loves us because if we've been saved, if we have a personal relationship with Christ, our sins are erased forever, and that's how we know God loves us. And then last Sunday, I preached on this subject, how does God know that we love Him? You remember? God knows if we have a selfless love. God knows we love Him if we have a steadfast love. And God knows we love Him if we have a serving love. So today I want to preach on this subject, why I love Him so. Why I love Him so. So if you found your place in God's holy word, Psalms 116, I want to read just a few verses there, 1 through 8. This is what the Bible says. "I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplication. Because He has inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I have found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul." Verse 5 says, "Gracious is the Lord, and righteousness, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountiful with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." May the Lord bless the hearing of His word this morning. Why I love Him so. In this scripture, the psalmist is telling us how much he loves the Lord. And he says there in verse 1, "I love the Lord." And then he begins to tell us the reasons that he loves the Lord. And I want you to know that the Bible has much, much to say about the Lord and His love. Let me just read a few verses of Scripture. This is what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Listen to what it says. "He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says this. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength. And yet, as I think of our love for the Lord, I'm reminded that my love for him is motivated and brought into beings because he first loved us. And we know, as we've been going through these series of messages, that God loves us. You've heard me say time after time after time. If you don't hear anything I say, know that God loves you. And when I think about that type of love, I mean he loves us with this undeserving love. He loves us with this indescribable love. And he loves us with this undying love, this unconditional love. He loves me with an unmerited love. And listen, loves me with an everlasting love. And I just want to say this morning that his love's amazing. Amen. His love is awesome. His love is powerful and it's supernatural. Somebody said this, "Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee." His love for me is never on trial or question, yet my love for him is constantly being challenged and questioned. I just want to say this morning that I hope you know that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when I got saved as a 27-year-old boy, he put something in me that I'll never get over. It's called the Holy Spirit. And I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He put a love in me for people. And I want to tell you this morning why I love him so. Here's my first point. I love him so because he hears me. Now, isn't that simple enough? I love him so because he hears me. Look what the Bible says there in verse 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. I love him because he hears me. He hears my voice. He hears me when I pray. I'm glad. Amen. I'm glad that we serve a God that doesn't turn a deaf ear to us. No, we serve a God that hears our voice. I got to thinking about it as I was preparing this. I'm especially glad that he heard my prayer that day when I was on my knees in my pantry as a 27-year-old boy when I called out to him. I'm glad he heard me that day. I'm glad he wasn't busy that day. I'm glad he wasn't talking to somebody else that day at the same time. You know, our God can do that. Our God can hear your prayer and hear my prayer and hear somebody else's prayer on the other side of the world. But I'm glad this morning that he heard my prayer. You know, I was lost and undone without God and his son. But the song says he reached way, way down for me. I was headed on that broad road, that road that leads to hell. I was as low as anybody could get. But thank God Almighty, amen, that glorious day when I got on my knees and I asked God to forgive me, he heard me. He heard me. And I love him this morning because I serve a God that hears my voice. He did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. And that was he saved my soul. He heard me. All the way from that little apartment there in Pickens when I first moved to Pickens. He heard my voice from wherever he abides in glory. He heard me. I'm glad he hears us today. I'm glad he heard my wife's prayer when she prayed and asked Jesus to come into her heart. I'm glad that he heard my boys pray when they asked the Lord to come into their heart. I've got 4 grandchildren. 3 of them's already prayed, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'm praying for the last one. Amen. Aren't you glad today that He hears us when we pray? And can I tell you something in order to get you excited? He lends an ear to our prayers. God does that. Lends an ear to our prayer. I've got it underlined in my Bible there in verse 1. He heard. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice. He heard me when I prayed. He lent an ear. God listens. God pays attention to what we say. He hears us. Not like the man that was sitting on the front porch that day and his wife said, "Junior, you know, I'm getting where I just love you more and more every day." And Junior was hard of hearing. Junior said, "What'd you say, hon?" She said, "I'm getting where I just love you more and more every day." And he said, I'm sorry, honey, I can't hear you." And she said, I'm getting where I love you more and more every day." And Junior said, "Well, if that don't beat it all, I'm tired of you too." Not that type of love. He hears us. Aren't you glad that God can hear? He don't have a problem with hearing like I do. I was at Good News the other day, and a little boy said something to me. I'm hard of hearing anyway, and I was at Good News, and there's about 50 kids in there, and they're all talking, and that just makes it that much harder to hear. And he was tugging on me, and I looked at him, and I seen his mouth moving, but I didn't have no idea what he was saying, so I kind of just nodded my head, and he didn't take that. He didn't want it, just a nod. He wanted to tell me something, so I said, "What'd you say?" And he said it again, and I still couldn't hear him, so I got down there to where he was. I got on my knees, and I listened to him, and this is what he said. He said, "I have Daniel in my name." And our lesson that week was on Daniel. And he said, "Just like the lesson, I have Daniel in my name." And I heard him. But you know what I did? I had to get down on his level. I had to get to where he was. And I got face to face with him. And I heard what he said. And he said, "I got Daniel in my name." Just like the guy in the lesson. And it excited me. And we high-fived. And it was just awesome. But you know what? I had to get on his level. Not only does the Lord lend an ear to us, but the Bible teaches that He bends an ear to our prayer. If you look what the Bible says there in verse 2, the Bible says, "Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live." I love it. Verse 2 says, "He has inclined." I got it underlined in my Bible. It means to bend down. It means to stop what you're doing and give 100% attention to who's talking to you. Incline. It's like God turns aside from everything that He's doing, and He pays especially to you. He pays attention just to you. Inclined. He stops and He listens. I'm glad that He bends an ear to our prayers. How many of you ever been through something and you needed God right away, and he bends an ear to your prayer? Boy, I tell you what, I couldn't help but think about Jesus when I thought about how He inclines to us. You know, just like I got on my knees and I got on that little boy Daniel's level, and I could hear him when I got down there on his level, and I couldn't help but think about what Jesus did for us. I mean, what Jesus did for us. If you think about someone getting on our level, Jesus did. I couldn't help but think about, the Bible says He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and became a man. Left the glories of heaven. Left heaven to become a man and live among us. I mean, the Bible says He was born to a virgin. How How much more can you get on our level? He was born in a stable and lived a sinless life. 33 years living a sinless life. That's not on our level, but that's our goal, amen. But you know what? I couldn't help but think about Jesus. Falsely accused, sentenced to die on a cross. And they made him carry his cross. I mean, the Bible says that he carried his own cross down that narrow road there in Jerusalem, the Via Dolorosa. He carried that cross all the way to that place called Golgotha, the place of the skull, Calvary. He carried his cross all the way to Calvary, and there he was nailed to an old rugged cross, and all of the sins of the world was placed on him. God turned away just for a second when all of the sin of the world was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All my sins, all your sins, all the sins of the world was placed on him. He took our place. He got on our level. He took what we needed. He went to the cross. You and I deserve the cross, but God took our place. There he hung, God in the flesh, for all the world to see. And then later he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished. It's finished." You say, "Preacher, what was finished?" All the shame was finished. All the beatings, all the whippings was finished. All of the pain was finished. All of the agony was finished. And there he died on the cross for us. For us. And they placed his body there in the tomb. A borrowed tomb. Borrowed because he didn't need it long. Placed it lifeless. Body in a tomb. The Bible says early one Sunday morning, the ladies were coming. They were coming to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they came to the tomb, they found something. The Bible says the stone had been rolled away, and we know that he arose from the grave. And today, listen to this, he's in heaven with the Father, sitting on the right hand, which means authority, and he's praying for us today. Make an intercession for us today. When we pray, he hears our prayers. He bends an ear to hear our prayers. I'm glad today that I can stand up here and based on the authority of the Word of God, I can tell you that when you pray, if you've got a right relationship with God, he hears our prayers. And one reason I love him today is because I know when I cry out to him, he hears me. I love the old song, "Sweet Hour Prayer." Sweet Hour Prayer that calls me from a word of care and bids me at my Father's throne and makes all my wants and my wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Oh, I just want to say today I love him because when I pray, he hears me. When you pray, he hears you. Here's number two. Not only do I love him because when I pray, he hears me, but listen to this. Not only does he hear me, folks, but the Bible teaches that he helps me. He helps me. Not only does he hear me, but he helps me. Look at verse 3. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, and then I called on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Not only does he hear us, but he helps us. I'm telling you, the psalmist here describes some of the circumstances that were surrounding him. And it kind of shows us the difficulties that he was encountering. And in verse 3, he testifies that he knew what sorrow was all about. I wonder today, do you know what sorrow is all about? We all do, don't we? Pain. The Bible says there that pain had gripped his heart. Anybody ever had a pain that just gripped your heart? The Bible says that he shared his trouble. He knew what pain was all about. He knew what sorrow was all about. He knew what suffering was all about. He encountered the difficulties, but the Bible says he helped me. He delivered them from the experience. Look what the Bible says in verse 4. Then called I upon the Lord, the name of the Lord. O Lord, beseech thee and deliver my soul. Look at verse 6. And the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. He helped me. How many of you have ever been helped by the Lord? A few of you have. The deliverance that he experienced. I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony since I've been in the ministry. I'm going to write a book one day where people just come up to me and say, "Preacher, the Lord did this for me this week. Preacher, the Lord helped me this week. Preacher, I don't know what I'd have done this week if I didn't know the Lord in a personal way. Preacher, the Lord seen me through this trial that I'm facing. Lord, preacher, the Lord seen me through this trouble that I was going through. Preacher, the Lord seen me. He allowed me to go through this temptation that was on me this week. The Lord helped me." The Bible says this in Psalms 46:1, that he's a present help. Listen, he just didn't help those in the Bible years ago. He helps us today. He's an ever-present help. I love him today because he hears me when I pray and he helps me. I'm telling you, looking at old boy that's been helped a lot. Listen, my wife didn't marry a preacher. She married old redneck from Walterboro, old brick mason. And when the Lord called me into ministry, I didn't even have a high school education. And I kept running, "Lord, there's no way you could use me. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm an ex-alcoholic. There's no way you can use me." But I'm telling you, he helped me. He helped me. I didn't marry no preacher's wife either. But the Lord put it together. Amen? He hears me. Aren't you glad he hears us? He helps us. Aren't you glad this morning that he helps us? And then last of all, I want you to see this. In verse 7, he honors me. Look at verse 7. "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with me." How many of you can say that? The Lord's dealt bountiful with me. He's blessed us, hasn't he? How many has ever been blessed by God? Amen. He's blessed us divinely. I mean, the Bible says that we're accepted as his sons and daughters. We're accepted. I was preaching one time when I first started preaching at Blue Ridge, and the preacher let me preach every once in a while, and I was preaching on the beloved and how God loves us. And I was trying to explain that word beloved, and I said something like this, if I can remember. I was standing up there and I said, "I love everybody in here." And I did. God put a love in my heart for people. I said, "I love everybody in here." I was trying to explain God's love. I said, "I love you all, but there's one girl in here that's special to me. She's my beloved." and I pointed to where Sharon sits. And Sharon wasn't sitting there. Boy, don't ever do that. There's another woman sitting there. And I wondered why I didn't look. I just pointed. And I wondered why everybody was laughing. And then I looked, and it was my mother-in-law. But listen, we're accepted into beloved. God loves us all, but when we give our life to Christ, then He saves us, and we're born again. The Bible says that we're His beloved, and we're accepted. He's blessed us divinely. I'm blessed because Jesus is my Savior, and because of that, I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And the good news is, I was thinking about it the other day, when I leave this world, when God gets ready to take me home, I love that old song, I won't have to cross Jordan alone because He'll hold my hand. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not stopping over, I'm going all the way. Blessed. And I'm going to end with this. I'm blessed daily. I'm blessed daily. God's blessed me daily. Blessed by the Lord. I know that you're not supposed to equate God's blessings with what you have or what you've done. But nonetheless, there have been things that I've done that I look back and it's only because of God. I was raised in a little town called Walterboro, Route 4, Box 45, Walterboro, South Carolina, in the middle of a swamp. They built interstate through Walterboro, about where I lived, and they had to dig ponds everywhere to get enough dirt to build up the highway. And I was raised right there, just an old country boy. And then they'd put alligators in those ponds because it was kind of not quicksand, but something like quicksand. It was swampy. And they didn't want nobody swimming in it. And they knew little boys, little bad boys like me, would go swimming in it. So they put alligators in there to keep people out. That's where I learned how to shoot a .22. I'd pop them alligators between the eyes. But I was thinking about it the other day. Little old boy from Walterboro, raised in the swamp with the mosquitoes and the alligators. Route 4, Box 45, Walterboro, South Carolina. I got to thinking the other day, I wonder if anybody else from Route 4, Box 45, and I'm not bragging, this is God. I wonder if anybody else from Route 4, Box 45, ever been to the Holy Land. I just couldn't help but think about it. I've been to the Holy Land and put my hand down where Jesus was born. Just me, little old country boy, went to the Holy Land and walked and touched the rock that Jesus was crucified on, Golgotha. I went to Jordan River and was baptized in the river that Jesus was baptized in. Just a little old boy from Route 4, Box 45, Walterboro, South Carolina. You talk about being blessed. The Lord has blessed me. And I know you're blessed. Just because I've been to the Holy Land don't mean I'm blessed. But I just couldn't help but think about the places I've gone and how God has blessed me with a wonderful family. And I've had the privilege of pastoring three wonderful churches, which I am truly blessed. I've got to know people that'll be my friends forever and ever and ever. And just God's been so good. He's been so good to me. And God's been good to all of us. I wish I had time to just go around. And I see y'all, they've been through war, been through cancer, going through it now. I wish I had time for y'all to just stand up and give God the glory for what He's done for you. But we've all been blessed. And as I close, all of us have reasons to love the Lord because He's been good to us. I love that song, and I'll close with this. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, it's now. It's now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Invitation is very simple today. If you're in here today and don't know the Lord in a personal way, I encourage you to give your life to Him. You can say a prayer like this: Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I confess my sins to you. I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you died on a cross for my sins, was buried, and the third day arose from the grave. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my life and be my Savior. You'd pray a prayer like that. I believe with all of my heart, the Holy Spirit comes in and changes you. Maybe you're here today and you need to do that. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved, but you've got away from God. You've got out of fellowship with God. And the Lord spoke to your heart today and wants you to come back home. Would you do that today? Maybe you're here today and you've been visiting for a long time and you feel like God's leading you to join Northside. Would you be obedient today? Maybe you just want to come, get on this altar and say, God, I've not been all that I need to be. I want to be in a better relationship with you. I want to be more faithful, Lord. If God spoke to you today, I pray that you'd be obedient and do what He wants you to do. Father, we just give you this invitation. We pray, Lord, you'd have your perfect will and perfect way. And we pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Let's stand together.